Welcome to a new episode of Africa with André, where we celebrate Africa one story at a time.
When I was preparing for this episode, I asked a friend, what questions would you like to have answered about Malawi? And his response was, I'm not sure. I don't really know anything about Malawi. And I think that about sums it up quite well. It's a country that's not often in the international news, apart from Madonna and a baby, maybe. And I suspect that many people would struggle to point it out on a world map. Some quick facts. Malawi is bordered by Zambia to the west, Tanzania to the north and east, and Mozambique curls around the southern half of the country. It's about half the size of the UK and a third of the size of Germany, with a population of a little over 21 million people. Today I'd like you to meet Lindsay from Ulendo Safaris. Her team has been my on-the-ground partners for several years in Malawi, and I'm glad that she could join me today in bringing Malawi a little bit closer to you. Hi, Lindsay, and welcome to my podcast.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
Give me the 30-second elevator pitch as to why someone should visit Malawi.
I think Malawi is one of Africa's best-kept secrets, as you get the full safari experience with the scenery and culture, but without the crowds.
Okay.
We have the big game parks, we have the crystal clear waters, and it's a small country that you can see all of them in quite easily.
It sounds like one of those countries that should be overrun with tourists, but luckily isn't.
Yeah, I'd say I would agree with you. I'd say that Malawi is the sort of country that sort of gives you a feeling of being in a nice, easy, manageable country, but with the excitement of Africa.
Give our listeners a quick picture of who you are. Where did you grow up? How long have you been running Ulendo Safaris, which I know you do together with your husband, Rob?
So I was born in Malawi. I grew up in Malawi and lived there till I was 12 years old.
Yep.
At which point my mum and dad decided we would come and live in the UK.
Yep.
And we lasted about a year and then all went back to Malawi. I don't know, something to do with British weather.
Yep, I get that.
Having said that, I'm here now, but yeah. Yep. And then Rob and I started Ulendo Safaris back in, 1998, around about there.
Oh, wow. So it's almost 30 years.
I know. It blows my mind.
Wow.
And we started it with this amazing Italian family who actually own Makakola Retreat on the shores of Lake Malawi. We were kind of their marketing team. And then after a few years, we wanted to be able to sell Malawi, really, and not just one property. And that's how Ulendo started. But yeah, my background is very much Malawi. My mum and dad moved there in the early 60s. So yeah, Malawi's been home for a very long time. Yeah.
I absolutely loved my visit to Malawi. I went there in 2006. It was a short trip, only a week, but quite a varied trip. My brother was doing a bicycle ride from Cairo to Cape Town at the time.
I know, that's amazing.
Yeah, 4 months and he came back a different person. And I joined him for a section of it in the northern part of Malawi. And I had no idea that that would be one of the steepest days on the entire trip, actually, thanks to the Great Rift Valley.
Yep. Pretty hilly up there.
Yep. It's not something I had expected, but this is what traveling is all about.
Yeah.
Tell us about some of the different regions that you can visit in Malawi. Maybe take us through a classic two-week itinerary for a first-time visitor. I would normally suggest that it's best to arrive into the capital city, Lilongwe, but Blantyre is the financial city, which has also got a big airport. What would you suggest to a first-time visitor?
So 2 weeks in Malawi, I think you'd want to experience the variety the country has to offer, so both in landscape and in pace. So I'd start in Lilongwe because it's central, it's easy to navigate and gives you quite an easy arrival into Malawi. The airport's good. It's a nice starting point. Yep. And then from there, I'd head south to Majeti or to Lwandi National Park for a little safari fix. Both offer really good viewing. Majeti a little bit more remote and rugged, while Lwandi has beautiful, beautiful boat safaris and lush, lush scenery.
Yeah.
I'd then sneak off for a bit of time in the highlands, so either to the Zomba Plateau, which overlooks the sort of old colonial capital, sort of misty forest walks and that kind of thing. Or I'd go a little bit further south to Melange, to the tea estate area. So that's sort of more dramatic, big towering peaks and fresh air and walking and stretching your legs after being in a safari vehicle for a while.
What do you mean by highlands? Is that like the top part of the Great Rift Valley or a big plateau? Or what do you mean by the highlands?
It's just sort of green and rugged. And because it's at the top of the valley rather than down in the lower Shiri, we call it the highlands.
Okay.
And then Zomba is also at the top of the... In fact, Zomba was the old colonial capital. It was like the sort of jewel in the crown of the various capitals, and all the folk that weren't used to the heat would all end up in Zomba.
Aha, so it was a favorite place because it was Africa and exotic, but not unbearably hot.
Not quite so hot, yes, exactly. So that's why we refer to them as the highlands. It can still get pretty hot, but it's cooler than being down in the valley.
Yeah. All right, yeah. And after the highlands, which is also where the tea growing region is, right?
Exactly, and so really beautiful, beautifully green most of the year round as well, which makes it nice. After that, after I've done my safari and my walking, and then I would head to the lake. I'd slow it down and I'd go to the southern lake shore if I was doing my, you know, 2 week thing.
Yeah.
And anywhere around there, like sandy beaches, all the water sports you'd normally associate with a vast body of water, really, I think.
You can't go surfing, though, if you say water sports. You can't go surfing. There's not waves for that. Probably windsurfing, but not wave surfing.
You could, yeah. So you would go, you could do windsurfing. Although in the central part of the lake and the northern part of the lake, you can get some pretty high waves. I used to body surf as a kid up near Senga Bay, which is more like the central part. So you couldn't go proper roller surfing, no. But they get a fair wave action in some parts.
Okay.
But the southern part is very Mediterranean-like, sort of calm waters, very beautiful. And then maybe if I had a bit more time, I'd explore the north a bit and go up to the Nika Plateau and things like that. The Nika is more like a surprise in Africa. It's more like, looks more like Scotland than it does Africa, but has the animals of Africa.
So rolling green hills with antelopes and elephants, or what do you say it looks like Scotland with African animals?
Well, they have had elephants on the high plateau, but it's not a common sighting. But it has zebras and roan and eland and leopard.
And then Blantyre, your itinerary now didn't go as far as south as Blantyre, right?
You would end up going through Blantyre on your way to Majeti, so you could see the secondary city as well by doing that. So you would go from Lilongwe through Blantyre to Majeti Game Reserve, which is in the south, and that's a sort of more rugged one.
And is Blantyre worth a visit, or is it a medium-sized African city with lots of grey buildings?
It is a bit of a medium-sized African city, but I do actually think cities have their place as well a little bit, and a little bit more now than they used to. Like the arts and crafts and things are becoming a bit more fun in the cities now than they used to be.
You're actually speaking to someone who's a massive fan of cities in Africa. I love Nairobi. I love Johannesburg. So I was being a little bit facetious, but it's like what, you know, Blantyre, okay, financial center or the second center of Malawi, what could there possibly be to see? But probably interesting markets and probably some interesting art scene.
Oh my gosh, and some really nice old buildings that people are trying to keep. And there's one house there called Mandala House where they've kept all the old archives and they've got all old pictures of Malawi and Malawi going through its stages. It's really very fascinating.
Yeah. And good restaurant scene in the cities as well?
Most definitely getting better. We have some great Indian restaurants and some really fine Italian ones too.
If someone says, what sort of food am I going to eat in Malawi? What sort of food can I expect? What's something that you would answer to that?
I'd say, so most of the sort of lodges and hotels serve very sort of Western style food, sort of your steak and chips and burgers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But occasionally some of them will do a traditional night and then you'll get like the Nsema pap and chicken curry and rice and that kind of thing. But as a rule, probably sort of chicken and chips.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Although we do have very fine Indian restaurants. And I've noticed that even more now that I'm living in the UK.
Yeah.
That actually Malawi has some great curries.
Why? I would have not associated Malawi with Indian food. Is there a big Indian population there?
Quite a large one, yes. Yeah. So I think a lot of the Indians, when Idi Amin threw everybody out,
yes,
a lot of them came south to Malawi.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
See, I even learn new things when I'm doing my own podcast. That's true. Ah, yes, of course, that makes sense. For those who don't know Nsimapap, it's a food made of maize. It's a little similar to grits or polenta, but slightly different and arguably better. It's a staple food in many parts of Africa and goes under various different names. For those who are not familiar with the reference to Idi Amin, he was the dictatorial leader of Uganda in the early 70s. And in August of 1972, he gave all the Asians in the country 90 days to leave. He expelled them, allowing them to take very little money and almost no belongings. And they resettled in East Africa, so I went back to the UK. I'll put a link to a recipe for Nsimapap in the show notes and a link to the Wikipedia page about the Idi Amin expulsions. Give us an understanding of what sort of accommodation people can expect. I know that there are big differences from country to country in Africa, and I myself stayed in very differing accommodation, from a tent to a lakeside straw hut almost, to like what could describe as a proper hotel. What do we expect for accommodation?
We don't really do sort of big glossy chains in Malawi. A sort of chain hotel kind of thing is a group run by a company called Sunbird Hotels, and those are the bigger hotels around Malawi. So most places are quite lovely, smaller owner-run lodges are sort of my preferred places. For example, on the tea estates, it would be the old owner's house. In the forestry reserves, it would be the ex-forestry commissioner's house people have taken over, and they run them as lodges.
Yeah.
And so they tend to be small owner-run places are the nicer ones to stay in.
Yeah.
And then in the safari areas, it's a mixture of tented camps and sort of brush grass places. But we don't have big, huge 100-room places. And the lake, a mixture of smaller places and a couple of resort style. But even the resort style ones have managed to keep the Malawi touch, like the thatched roofs and those kind of things. So it's nice offerings,
yep,
but probably without the price tag of, yep, Botswana.
Yeah, well, yes, I imagine. Yeah, I would. From my experience, I would probably just describe it as comfortable and clean without any unnecessary luxuries and smaller properties.
And so, yes.
Yeah. Which is nice anyway, because it's a more personal experience. And I'm not a massive fan of hotels that have 400, 500, 600, 700 rooms.
No.
That doesn't suit Malawi anyway.
Yeah. No. It is definitely smaller places. Yeah.
What is your favorite spot in Malawi and why?
Okay, I think I sort of banged on about it a little bit earlier, and it would be the Nika Plateau, which is in the north of Malawi. Just the rolling highlands, the views, the peacefulness, the big sky. It just stays with you. It's where I used to go when I was a kid. It was all about exploring on your own, long walks, picnics, trout fishing. It was all about freedom and space. And I always say it's a place that's good for the soul.
Yeah, we like places like that.
Yeah.
I have a place in the Cedarburg in South Africa that's sort of also big open spaces, quiet. And I also say it's good for my soul. I go there, I lie down on the ground, and it literally feels like I'm recharging.
Yeah. So I would say that by Nika, but it probably isn't everybody's Africa impression.
No, but that's the beauty of Africa and a country like Malawi is how varied it is. And I think a lot of people are looking nowadays for places where they can just slow down and become closer to themselves. And maybe that's a good space to do that.
Exactly. And then I actually have a second one.
Okay.
But only because that's where me and Rob got married, and that's Makakola Retreat down on the lakeshore.
Okay. What's special about Makakola Retreat?
I think that's just a personal thing because I used to work there. And it is special. It's a beautiful place to stay.
Yeah.
But yeah, that has my second spot.
We learned about the different regions that you should consider including on your first visit to this country. In Southern Africa, or Lindsay, do you consider yourselves to be part of East Africa?
I don't know. So I always think of it as Central Africa. But yeah, apparently Dr. Hastings Kamuzu-Banda used to think we should have been on East African time. So maybe Central East Africa.
Interesting. I wouldn't have considered it Central Africa. That for me is sort of that vaguely impervious region in the middle of the continent where there are various amounts of unrest happening from time to time. Malawi is too peaceful a country for me to include in that region, but geographically, I suppose Central East would make sense.
I think that's what we always think, but yeah, we're more east than anything, I'd say.
Religion-wise, there's not a lot of Islam in Malawi, is it? It's mostly Christianity.
I think we're 50-50. 50% Christianity, 50% Muslim.
Well, then that speaks for East Africa as well, because Mozambique also goes from Southern Africa up into East Africa, bordering onto Tanzania, and the northern part is Muslim.
Yeah, we're a diverse bunch.
Even though Malawi is a landlocked country, you can actually have a bush and a beach holiday. Let's talk about that and start with the wildlife, because that's what a lot of people want to come to Africa for. What animals can we see in Malawi?
To say, I am so proud of Malawi and what African parks have done there in the last 10 years, which has honestly made Malawi so much better for wildlife. For so many years, we sold it as like the poor cousin to Zambia because the wildlife wasn't as good as you could get in Luangwa. In January, I went to Lwandi with my mum and dad and had some of the best game sightings. Like, you can now see the big five in Malawi, which is something people don't expect. African parks must have taken over in Majeti and Lwandi about 15 years ago, Majeti, and about 10 years ago in Lwandi, and now we have everything. And the beauty of Majeti and Lwandi is Majeti is like a rough, rugged place.
Yep.
And you turn a corner and suddenly something's there. Whereas Lwandi is sort of a much calmer and has the bigger river.
Yep.
Loads of crocodiles, loads of hippos. I mean, you basically can't move for hippos and crocs on the Shiri River. It's amazing. So, I mean, I'd say Lwandi is the finest one and Majeti is a nice little surprise.
And they're both in the southern part.
Then going up north, we've got Nkotakota Game Reserve, which has also now been taken over by African Parks. And I think that was probably about 5 years ago. Okay. And that was when they did, I don't know if you ever heard about it, when they moved 500 elephants from Lwandi to Nkotakota. They moved them by trucks at night.
500 elephants by truck?
500 elephants by truck from Lwandi to Nkotakota, which must be about 400 kilometres. So the Ellies and Nkotakota is starting to chill out now a little bit. They were a bit sketchy at first, but that's more like a reserve. I mean, there's not a lot of wildlife there, but it's starting to build up.
Nice.
And you did mention one on the sort of west side, which is Kasungu National Park, which is run by Peace Parks. And unfortunately, that took quite a hit, but now game's improving there. But that, I mean, that I have very fond memories of because we used to go to that park when I was a kid and it was one of the classic family trips from Lilongwe. It was only an hour and a half. I love that park and I'm pretty glad it's starting to get back on the radar again.
Kasungu is where we went for two nights and I really enjoyed it as well. I do remember that we got stuck in our little polo rental car on the road into Kasungu. There was a stretch of the road that was untarred and four city dwellers were trying to push it out of the hole. It didn't work until I had the brainwave of putting a towel under each of the rear wheels. And then that gave us enough grip to then get out of that sandy patch. Yeah. What are the roads like?
We're pretty lucky in Malawi because we've basically got the M1 from north to south, one main road for it to be maintained. It's taken a beating over the last few years and at the moment they're doing some serious work on the sort of north part.
Yep.
But as a rule, our roads are in pretty good shape.
Okay.
And when you sort of go off to your little different places, the dirt ones are pretty well maintained.
Yep. Yeah, there'd been some rain as well, so that's why we got stuck. So it wasn't that the road was in a dramatic state. I think we just had a bit of bad luck with a bit of a wet patch.
Yeah, that'll definitely happen.
Back to the wildlife. It's great that there's the Big Five now, because that's obviously a big attraction for a lot of first-time visitors to Africa. I think Malawi is a country that's probably going to be visited mostly by people that have already been to other countries in Africa. So my two animal questions now are, yes, you've got the Big Five, but can one see them? Or is it just nice to say that we've got them? Because I've been to parks where it's like, no, we've got the Big Five, but, you know, we see the lions twice a year, if you're lucky. And, you know, there's two elephants that come and drink from a particular waterhole. It's not as dramatic as that, is it?
No, not so you are seeing them. In Lwandi, which is where the rhinos are,
yeah.
I follow Central African Wilderness Safaris, and they've been seeing the rhinos pretty regularly close to camp. So they are seeing them quite often, lion fairly often. You know, the only thing that they don't have in that park is giraffe. They've got that in Majeti, but they don't have giraffe in Lwandi. But yes, I would say they're seeing things quite regularly. We had a brilliant game viewing time in Lwandi in January, which is supposed to be one of the times when it's hardest to see everything. And I went with my mum and dad, and my dad's been in Africa since 1962. And he said it was one of his favorite weekends ever in the bush.
What is the best time of the year to visit Malawi?
My absolute favorite time is April, May, which is what we call the champagne months, when it's just after the rainy season.
Yeah.
It's stopped raining, but it's still clear and green and sparkly. And that's still sort of low season, so you're probably not going to get as good game viewing as you would say in the dry season, in the sort of August, September, because the bush is just thicker. But we had some pretty good sightings.
Okay.
We saw a cheetah. So they've got cheetah in Lwandi now. And my dad hadn't seen cheetah ever.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, we were pretty lucky. The game viewing best time of year would probably be August, September, but I feel like Malawi as a rule is an all-round destination, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed whatever time of year you come. The only reason I would avoid January, February, which is even though I said I had a great time there, is that some of the lodges are closed. Some do close during the rain just because the way they're built, they are built for outside living. And if it's raining, you're just going to be miserable.
Yeah, fair enough. And the weather is pretty similar from north to south in the country. It's not like the north has a different rainy season to the south.
Exactly. Okay. So, yeah, it's pretty similar. Although, having said that, January, February on the Nika is the time you can see all the orchids.
Let's go back to the bush and beach that we started chatting about and talk about the lake in particular. I think people don't realize how massive it is. It's 580 kilometers long. It has a shoreline in Malawi of over 240 kilometers. And obviously it's shared with the neighboring countries. And there are many different types of beaches. I stayed on the beach up near Nkata Bay, where it's a little bit less developed than it is in Maclear region in the south. Tell us about the water and the beach activities that you can do on, at, around the lake.
Okay, so I quickly want to go back. If you say it's length and breadth in miles, it's much more fun because it's 365 miles long and 52 miles wide, which is why we call it the Calendar Lake.
Yes. Oh, that's funny.
I do think it is a big surprise to people that they can do the bush and beach thing. And it is an amazing lake. And I think people don't appreciate it until they come round a corner and they see it. And I think you saw it at the best place, where you come round the corner to Nkata Bay and suddenly look out and it's unfolds there in front of you. The southern end we refer to as the Mediterranean. It's sort of more calm, not so wide across, so the waves don't get that big.
Yep.
And then the sort of central part and the northern part we refer to as the Atlantic, because you do then get big rolling waves sometimes depending on the weather. The northern part has the most amazing white beaches, if sort of up the Chintechi area. And then the southern part, you have these amazing islands like Mumbo and Domwe, and more sort of your barefoot, relaxed hammock vibe going on.
So it's a proper beach experience. You can sit with your toes in the sand and you can go swimming and you can watch the sunset. You know, it is a proper beach experience.
When you say swimming, what sort of temperatures can we expect in the lake? Obviously, it'll be different from season to season and maybe from north to south. But is it like a Mediterranean warm where it's like 25 to 29 degrees, or?
Probably a little cooler than the Mediterranean. You're probably about 20, around 20.
Okay. I like it when it's a bit cooler and refreshing, but I know that a lot of people like to hang out in the water for hours, and then that's why they like the 24. There's a lot of activities you can do on the water as well, like windsurfing, canoeing, I know is quite big, kayaking, that type of thing.
Yeah. So, and I learned to dive in Malawi as well, which was a nice place to learn to dive.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Because of the fresh water, so you weren't getting salt water in your eyes, and I actually loved it. I much prefer swimming in fresh water to salt water, but I think that's what I grew up with.
Of course. And diving-wise, there must be some beautiful fish to see. There's obviously no corals, because that has to be, I think you need salt water for that. But it's interesting to go diving.
We're super, super famous for the cichlids. They're very colourful fish. In fact, I've sold holidays to people that come to Malawi specifically to see the cichlids.
Oh, really? I'll put a cichlid in the show notes for those of us, including myself, that don't know cichlids. Better tell us quickly what a cichlid is.
A cichlid is a very colourful fish. There are lots of colourful fish in there. They are fascinating to people because from one side of the rock to another side of the rock, they could be very different species even of cichlids.
Oh, wow. So by that you mean fish that live, there's one version of cichlid living on the left of a particular rock, and on the other side of that very same rock, it's a different species that lives there, and they don't really mingle.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's amazing. And you find cichlids, if you go into any pet shop that does fish, you'll find Lake Malawi cichlids in there. Like the blue zebra, there's one called the blue zebra.
So is it these classic brightly coloured fish that lots of people like to have in the aquarium that are related somewhere to dory?
So I think dory, the one that's dory, is a saltwater fish. But yes, if you have a freshwater aquarium, you will definitely have cichlids in it.
And here you can see them in the wild. And that's down near Cape Maclear?
All over the lake, really. But Cape Maclear is famous for snorkeling around there.
Let's ask the last touristy information type question. What's the best way to move around Malawi as a tourist? I'm assuming most people don't want to cycle like my brother and I did. A rental car is probably the best, and you don't really need a 4x4.
I'd say guided. We send people with a driver guide, which is often quite nice. So they would take people from point to point. But hiring a car and driving around is very, very easy and not stressful at all. Yeah. Most people on the side of the road speak English. It's an easy country to navigate. The other way you can get around is flights as well, small planes. So if you're a bit time poor, you can get places by flying as well, but you have to have the budget for it.
Sure, sure. And Malawi is one of those countries where you're actually interacting with people along the way at little shops or here and there is one of the things that make it such a rich experience, in my opinion.
I reckon it's one of the countries where you can stop in the smallest village and still get a cold drink. It always blows my mind that even though I grew up there, that you can just stop in the middle of nowhere and somehow, somewhere, someone will produce a cold drink.
That's very cool. Which is a nice link to the next question that I had, because Malawi is called the warm heart of Africa. And it really does have some of the most friendly people that I've ever encountered in my travels. And at the same time, and I say at the same time on purpose, and at the same time, Malawi is one of the poorest countries. And I say that because I've definitely seen a correlation between poverty in countries in Africa and generosity and warmth of the people. And that's something that really struck me in Malawi.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
No, I would agree. I know definitely we're one of the poorest countries and we're going through a pretty hard time at the moment, but the people are still happy and easy to hang out with and smiling, and the kids are still smiling on the side of the road. And so you're right, the lower the GDP, the greater the generosity of spirit, it seems.
Yeah. What are the main industries in Malawi? And talking of poverty, will I as a tourist be affected by it, to use an awful word? But
so in the north, you'll see a lot more sugarcane. And then around the south, you'll see a lot of tobacco. We have a little bit of mining and then tourism.
Okay.
But most people are sort of subsistence farmers. So, yeah, because it's agriculture, we are pretty vulnerable to weather patterns and global price changes.
Yeah.
But I think, to answer your question, I think tourism does increasingly play an important role to bring in more forex into Malawi.
Yeah.
And you can have a positive impact because as a tourist, you are creating jobs and you're supporting the local businesses and funding conservation projects. You know, these are all little things that each lodge are doing. And so I think as a visitor, the poverty doesn't impact the trip like you would expect. Like you don't go around thinking, oh, these poor people, because you still feel safe and welcomed and looked after. But I think what it does is maybe deepen your experience a bit and it maybe makes you travel a bit more thoughtfully.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And safety is not an issue that's ever been discussed in Malawi.
No, and I think that's why people haven't heard of us. That's what I always say. You know, your opening thing was, why haven't I heard of Malawi? It's because we haven't been in the news for awful things.
That's true. Talking of positive things, you and Rob and the team have looked after many, many people over the years visiting the country. Have you got a heartwarming story or a funny story from over the years?
Okay, my funny story is actually more to do with the people that work with us in Malawi. And we had this guy that worked for us at Olendo. He was our meet and greet guy at the airport and his name was Levson. He's since retired.
Okay.
But one day we went to collect the post from the post office because we still use post boxes here in Malawi. Yep. You don't get delivered to your door. The letter was addressed to Levison, and all it said was Levison Banda, Lendo Safaris, P.O. Box, I can't remember. It just really made me laugh and it made me really think, this is the beauty of Malawi, is that, and he still got his letter.
And he still got his letter. That is beautiful.
And if anybody had ever travelled with Olendo, they would remember Levson because he always greeted them at the airport with the same question, whether they'd seen any giraffe. And it didn't really matter if he was meeting you from South Luangwa or South London.
Okay. Because he loves giraffes or because...
Yep, I don't know. He loved giraffes, but that was his opening line to anybody that sort of came off the plane.
Oh, that is funny.
Yeah.
What's your favourite animal, Lindsay?
Mine is, weirdly, the hyena.
Ooh, why?
I think they're a little bit misunderstood.
Yes.
And people think of them as sneaky and scary, but I absolutely love hyena cubs.
Yeah.
And I love watching them play. And you can sit there. If you find a hyena den with cubs, it is one of the most joyful things.
That is true. I have seen that they're just so playful.
Yeah, so I feel sorry for them. And we had this hyena project in Lilongwe. We get hyenas in the capital quite often, and they tried to relocate some of them to Lwandi. And we had this female hyena that got taken to Lwandi, and she ended up crossing the river and coming all the way back to Lilongwe because that was her home.
So like when you say it came back to Lilongwe, you mean like in the city?
Yep, came back to live in the city.
Wow, that means that we all have to stop laughing at Americans when they say, so do you have lions living in your street? No, we have hyenas.
Well, in Lilongwe, we're very lucky. We've got a nature reserve. It's sort of in the middle of the town. So there are little places where they can go and hide away.
Where they're safe, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's cool. So she came all the way back. That's amazing.
Yep, she came all the way back.
But were there still other hyenas there, or she decided to live there on her own, do you know?
No, I think there's still other hyenas. There's still hyenas around from our house. We could hear hyenas calling some nights.
It's a beautiful sound.
It is.
And then my last question, give us some sort of a fun, interesting, little known fact about Malawi, something where people will go, wow, I didn't know that.
It's more a fact about people than it is about Malawi. And I thought about this as well.
Yeah.
And I just want to say about amazing people we have that come from there. We've got an amazing poet called Q Melawesi, and the talent that comes out of Malawi that nobody really knows about. He actually, his dad was vice president for a while. Uh-huh. And then we had this comedian, Dalitso Chiponda, okay. who came third in Britain's Got Talent a couple of years ago.
No way.
Yeah. So if you ever come across either of those two people, that will give you a sense of Malawi's humour and loveliness and talent.
Nice. Actually, I think I might have even seen an excerpt from that episode of Britain's Got Talent. I'll have a look at it and I will put their names in the show notes so that people can Google those names and then try and find that.
No, have a look at it because Dalitso is really very, very funny. But some of the things he says may shock a few people.
Well, that's good. I'm not against shocking people. Thanks again so much for taking time to be with us today, Lindsay.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Today we touched on why Malawi is worth a visit at all. And we got an overview of what an itinerary for a first trip could look like, including where you'd sleep. Again, I'll put those stops that Lindsay mentioned as a list in the show notes for you. We chatted about the wildlife in Malawi, including the cichlid fish that I'm going to Google immediately, and the beach activities, and a couple of logistical things to consider when visiting. I hope that this has inspired some of you, dear listeners, to explore a new destination when you come to Africa, maybe as a first time or maybe as a second or a third trip. And with that, I will leave you all to start dreaming. Until the next time.